This recording will be for the regular board meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education, held on Wednesday, March 4th, 2009, at Huntington Elementary School, starting at 7 p.m.
We're glad to have you here, and we're very welcome. And we need to excuse Roy, his mother is ill, and he's helping with that, and we wish the best for her. We also need to excuse Principal Baltzer. He has some family commitments that he's to take care of, and we're glad that he can do that. So with that, we will have the Pledge of Allegiance. If you will all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will begin by a school activities request from the LDS State President. Mr. Jensen.
I'm LeVar Jensen, the State President of Huntington State. I appreciate the time you give me tonight. I'm also a father of a student at high school. And just to explain what my concern is, he just came up to his wrestling and a couple of weeks ago. But every night, he gets home about 7 o'clock at night. And I just have a concern that, many of you understand the importance of families. And I looked on the internet just today just to see, and there are numerous articles that says that just looks at having a meal together with a family. There is so much research and study that says kids do better, they stay away from drugs, they stay away from a lot of things if they'll eat with their family. So just that. So my request is that you give a strong recommendation that Monday night, all activities could end at 5 o'clock, let the activity bus bring the kids home. I'm an electrician and I deal with time clocks that turn lights on and off. And on the dial of the time clock, it says that night starts at 5 o'clock. And I'd like to see them end at 5 o'clock, if it's at all possible, so these kids can get home and spend time with their families. And it says I'm LDS, I believe in family home evenings. I have 6 sons that have all graduated. Well, 5 of them have graduated from Emory High School. It just gets worse every year. Activities on Monday night, and we hardly see him any night when they're in these extracurricular activities until 7 o'clock or after. And honestly, my boys come home and they get through. They don't run off to other places. They come home because they have chores to do and things like that. But I'm just asking that a strong recommendation that activities end at 5 o'clock. I know that Provo School District has done this for about 5 or 6 years. There's some buzzwords over at Carbon that it's being talked about over there. And so I'm requesting that you make a strong recommendation that school activities on Monday night end at 5 o'clock. And if possible, I just will go for the whole thing. No homework. Because when he does get home at 7 o'clock at night, he does homework until 10 or 11. And so I would ask for a recommendation that that take place. That would be possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you hearing that coming, and we certainly see the importance of that. And I think, there's others with other faiths in the community. I think they would join if we had some kind of consensus with them. We need to consider that. Maybe there can be an interfaith recommendation that would help with that. So it feels like it's not just one church or one entity doing that. I think it's probably something that they would all agree to, and that might be helpful. Maybe we could pursue it that way on your end to gather that. And
now this issue, this came up in about 2002, I think when Provo School District looked at that, and it was after the LDS General Conference when there was a plea for education leaders to avoid Monday night activities. And they did at that time pass a policy, which since then they have rescinded the policy and simply tried to work with that, because the ACLU became involved in it at that time and threatened to take them to court. And at that time, we issued a strong recommendation that we try to avoid as many activities on Monday nights that are school-related as we can. And I think the schools responded really well. We have had some chorus concerts and band concerts and plays that have taken place on occasion, and mainly because we have so many of our students who are in those activities who are also in the athletic programs, and they have a hard time finding nights to have those other kind of activities. But I don't think we've had a lot of them. One thing we haven't talked about is practices. And the activity bus, I think, right now is scheduled to leave about 6 o'clock, Emory High School. By the time you do get to Cleveland Elmo, it's 7 o'clock.
That's a long time.
There's no question about it. I think our schools have responded, but I think the school district, and I'm not speaking for the board, but I know as a school district, we certainly value a night when families can be together. There's no question about it. What we can't do is pass a formal policy, because then you have First Amendment issues. But strong recommendations that we try to encourage
that's not a problem, I think, is
worth pursuing.
And I don't think it's been reiterated since that time.
No, I don't think we have.
So I think it would be well reiterated. And I think your point's well taken, that for at least the last 25 years, I know the one constant in student success rate, regardless of demographics, has been the number of meals they eat together as a family. So I think we should try to look at that as much as we can, too, and see if we can get those kids home early enough that they can eat with their families.
And I think that goes across the board, all families. And that's where, I think, like I said, that's where Provo got into trouble, if they, you know, targeted one religion. And I think if we made it beneficial to all of our students, I think all of them would feel the same way. And that might be some way to approach it. But I think that's an excellent point. We need our families to be together. We need parental guidance. We need them to have strong homes and have connection with those homes. So thank you very much for your concern bringing that to us. Okay, we have the consent agenda, the warrants, and the minutes from February 2009 meeting. Are there any questions or concerns that haven't been cleared up?
I don't have any other, but we accept them as they were presented to us.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have some personnel action.
A couple of names need the board approval on. One is for the swim team coach at Emory High School, Mr. Davis. And Emory High has gone through an interview process there and recommended the name of Marilyn Collard to serve as a swim team coach for Emory High. What we're doing there is, because this is a new program, we're trying to get a little bit of a head start on preparations, because this does start in the fall and we have no idea really what we're doing. And Marilyn has a really good handle on it, but what we're doing there is starting with some preparations now, and then of course the season will begin this fall. We have had a meeting with her and with the county commission. We've talked about the facilities, we've talked about the do's and don'ts of when you can work with these students, when you can't. But anyway, Marilyn Collard being recommended as a swim team coach, and also Whitney Smuin, hope I'm saying that right.
Smuin,
we have it's an educational assistant, special needs student at Brookcliff Elementary School, special education. So I recommend the board approve those names.
I have a question.
Yes.
So is Marilyn going to be paid through the summer?
One-third contract this year, one-third to get us started.
In the fall, will there be a regular swim class that they can sign up for, or will it be just part of the PE program?
Both. The swim team is just like any other athletic team. You know, we talked about whether we should proceed with this, and I might mention this. But one of the things that we committed to in this whole process almost two to three years ago was that part of the bonding of the county commission did was on the basis, and sold on the basis, that we would have a swimming program at Emory High School. And that's why we went through the process of donating property and doing all of those kind of things. We felt a commitment, and as we went up to county commission, that was reiterated again. But what it will be is the swim team will be similar to what any of our other athletic teams would be. It would be an after-school program as far as the practices and preparation for the swim competition. But it'll also, the swimming pool will also be available during certain periods of the year for physical education classes. For example, part of the healthy lifestyles activities classes would be, for example, a two-week unit on swimming. It wouldn't go on all year every day because the pool is open all day to public and for other lessons and classes. But it would become part of the physical education classes that are taught at Emory High School also. The pool is also open for use by our other schools. Basically, right now, it's open for scheduling without being charged for the use of the pool itself. We have to pay for lifeguard costs. It's being scheduled or being made available for elementary schools for 2 days a year and secondary schools up to, I think, 12 hours of time because they won't be coming and using a certain day. Some of our schools have already taken advantage of that. But as far as the swim coach, what we really are trying to do now is get a start, get prepared, to get things going, to put all of it together. And so we worked out an agreement where we would go one-third contract this year for that, which, by the way, is minimal on coaches' pay. Coaches work for about 25 cents an hour. But that's what we're doing.
Okay. Well, I would make a motion that we approve those names.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the early retirement incentive approval.
Okay, after last meeting, you asked me to do a survey of employees to see how much interest there would be. Because of the legislative budget issues, to see how many employees would have an interest if the board offered an early retirement incentive. We did do a survey. We received responses from a number of employees. As I recall, we have about 9 employees who responded that they would have an interest in that. Some of those, of course, have already been planning to retire this year, and they can't be left out of that. But we felt that there was enough interest in looking at our budget situation next year to at least send out formal application forms and have those who are interested now try to make a commitment on that and have that back by the 13th of March, which is a week from Friday. And so at that time, I think we'll have a pretty good idea of whether it would be worth it for the board to offer that, recognizing that in many of those situations, we would have employees who would retire and we would not replace them because of the budgeting situation. So we've gone ahead and sent out application forms, and of course the board would still have a right to rescind that offer if there's not enough formal applications turned in and received at that time. What the early retirement incentive is an equivalent. We've offered an equivalent of 18 months of COBRA health insurance at a current couple rate health insurance. Now they can generally take that into a health savings program where they could use it to purchase health insurance for as many months as that would cover. They could use it for other health-related needs, or they could take it as a cash payment, which would be subject to taxes. But that's basically what you requested me to survey and see how much interest would be in that sort of program. What I'm asking the board tonight to do, since we'll be under some really critical deadlines, is to approve the early retirement incentive program. And then, based on the number of applications we get in, then we could move ahead with it. But we need to have you approve that offer of an early retirement incentive for our employees who want to take that.
So whoever applied would be eligible, no matter.
I don't think that you could discriminate. I think in some cases you may need to replace the position, but you could do that with probably an employee who would not be paid as much. They'd be at a lower level on the salary schedule. So you would still probably save more than the incentive on every employee. And on many of those cases, it would mean that we would not replace positions, or we would move people around so that critical positions are filled as far as programs, but we could reduce staff by a number of positions, which would save a lot more money than what you'd be expending on it. And this money will be paid out of fund balance monies, which is not ongoing, which is available for salary considerations in the future. So I think it's well worth it to do it.
I do too. I would make the motion that we approve the early retirement incentive program.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
And once again, the deadline will be when?
March 13th. I think that's a week from Friday. Okay. The legislature's out on the 12th, so
okay.
We should have a pretty good idea then, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that a little bit later here.
It's hard to see some of our stalwart teachers retire. It's hard to think about that, but I guess we're... It'll be hard to report.
Well, of course, the survey was a survey, and those who have an interest did express that interest, but it doesn't mean they're going to apply for it.
That's
some
true.
Of them were still working out details on retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent you some of those names, but we've had a couple others since then. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
But it will depend on whether they can work out the details or not.
Okay.
But I do think if we end up with three or four, it would be well worth it.
Okay.
It would mean that we wouldn't have to do a reduction in force and just let people go.
Okay. We now have Denise Warren for our child nutrition program.
I'm going to follow the agenda, and the first item on the agenda is breakfast at Green River High. I've spoken with Mr. Joss and the principal down there, and with that school having a 68% free and reduced at that school, they qualify for the breakfast program as a severe needs school. I feel that the school would benefit as the students too from having the breakfast program there. It would help with student attentiveness, classroom behavior, the health and welfare of the kids, and of course test scores. Students at breakfast test with those things. We are not going to start that until the first of the school year to give us time to work out the students, because I don't have a staff at site, cooking site for the test scores. So we're going to have to work out a few details, but I'm confident we can do it. We usually can do just about what we've got our minds to do.
Is Green River the only, are those the only schools we do not serve
breakfast at? Green River High is the only school we don't serve breakfast at currently. Mm-hmm. We serve it in all of our other nine schools. So we had talked about maybe the high school kids coming to the elementary, but Jared and I and Nolan felt like high school kids aren't going to come from elementary to eat breakfast, so we're going to have to take it to them, but we'll figure out a way to do that. The other item is summer feeding. And this gives us an opportunity to help our community. If you have 50% free or reduced in your school, they qualify for a seamless summer program. And the State Office of Education and Utah State Congress have both really been asking for my assistance in this program. We have three schools that qualify: Huntington Elementary at 55%, Farron Elementary at 52%, and Book Trip at 68% free and reduced. The last, since the new year, I've been taking new fairly brief applications daily, sometimes a couple of days. Our homeless has it's more than doubled since the first of the year. Look, this is odd. We've not had this situation in the past. I maybe would take a couple applications the whole half of this year, you know, the new year's day. Where now it just seems like moms and dads are coming in and saying, we just lost our job, you know. So I think it would be a really good benefit to our community to do this at both three sites. We would need the cooperation of the school. I've talked with my staff, and they're willing to make it work.
I thought if we could contact like PTAs or PTOs and have them help us with some activities, like maybe a reading group or exercise program or something to go along with it. We've talked about doing from the 1st of June to the 31st of July, which works out 9 weeks, 45 days.
What time period?
From the 1st of June to the 31st of July, which is 9 weeks and 45 days exactly. There's no holidays or anything that falls. I don't believe, I think that like the 4th and the 25th all fall on the, or the 24th fall on the weekend. These sites can feed anybody in our community 18 years or younger, great. We don't have to track who they are, what their names, their status, or anything. Just the cooks will just make half months. And so it's easy, simple to run it. There are a few rules. I have to run it exactly like I run the regular meal program, the federal and state rules. We can provide an adult meal for a fee. It can't be less than our reimbursement rate, though, so it would be $350. We can't feed them until after we fed all students. So, and that makes sense because it's actually for students. But if mom wants to come along or dad wants to come along, they can come. And at the end of service, you know, we're going to, my staff and I want to try to plan to be able to let them purchase a meal if they would like to. Another benefit to the school district is if the school wants to hold a summer school class, we can feed those students here too. So that's an option to the school if they would like to take it. Utah Sense Hunger has offered to supply us with banners and posters and flyers to get the word out to the community to get them worked up and coming. And then I've made up a small little budget. I feel pretty comfortable about food costs and labor costs. Where I'm uncomfortable is the number that we will see. On the top page, Huntington Elementary, I've kind of figured that we could do like 1,000 potential meals if everybody from Cottonwood and Farron and outside of those places came in. I'm on the wrong school. If Cleveland and Tennant, you know, the kids from Cleveland came and we came to Huntington. So I kind of thought, well, how you plan a party, you know, a certain amount will fill up and a certain amount won't. So I thought, well, maybe 250. So I kind of worked that out. We still receive our liquor tax, which last year closed at over 45 cents a meal. And I kind of did a safe estimate at 38. Commodities, we'll also receive commodity money for every meal that we serve during the summer. So in the long run, this will help out the main child nutrition program. It's not something that only has to be for summer program because it seems like we can use it, you know, to help out other times. Sharon is the next one, and I put Sharon's number and Cottonwood's numbers and some of Castlebell's numbers, so it gave us another 1,037 potential. And I figured the same thing, maybe 250. And then Book Cliff, there's a 250 potential there, and I figured about 80 meals. The community center in Green River has done meals before. Summer feeding program, and I talked to the woman that's over that, and we've kind of had a little gentleman's agreement that she would just bring the community center to us for lunch. So there's no issues outlined with that or have a problem with that. So do you have any questions for me?
I have one maybe board to high letters, but are there districts near to us that have done this? What is Carbon doing it?
Yeah. Carbon.
Do you know what kind of participation they get?
Yeah. Carbon does it, and so does Richfield, and I've spoke with both those ladies. Richfield adds a site, or a couple sites each year. She's up to like 15 sites, I believe she said.
And she feeds about 1,700 meals.
This is lunch only each day.
Yeah, lunch only each day. She feeds about 1,700 meals a day. And Carbon feeds about 1,500 meals, and they're opening two new sites this year, so they're figuring that number will go up also.
So you said that they can come regardless of their income?
Their status.
Their status.
It's just open to the community.
They don't have to still... Okay.
No. And we don't have to track.
So this 308.38 is what you will get after you've subtracted expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in addition to...
Okay.
Right.
That's just kind of an estimate of what we could...
So it is worthwhile.
It is worthwhile, okay. I believe.
It is financially, yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It seems like a win-win situation.
And it's such a good asset to the community, and that's the ladies that I talked to at both other districts. And then also I spoke with Alpine and Murray, one other school district up there, but they're so big and far away. But they've all had great success, and none of them, I've asked, you know, I wanted to be sure because of the financial problems we've had in the past. And they said, no, if you do seamless, it will be helpful to your program.
How does your staff feel about it?
Well, surprisingly, I have a list, and it's probably half or over half of them. No, it's over half, because there's more than 10. They've all signed up. We're going to work together. We're going to plan the menus together. We're going to do a 3-week cycle, so it'll be recycled 3 times, and it'll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to work out staffing, you know, like if my husband's off, and so we're going to work all together on that, make sure that it's covered in there. And but they were very supportive. Several of them said, I was in high school, look for a summer job, so this will help. I can just keep doing what I know how to do.
It sounds like it will work well. My one concern is it going to cause problems with the custodians getting the buildings
ready,
prepped for fall?
Yeah, and that, I spoke with the principal today, and he brought up that he's getting a new floor sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, we can work something out. Maybe we could, you know, if the cafeteria is tore down for a couple weeks, my girls can take it to the auditorium, and they can sit on the floor and have a picnic, you know, sack lunches, you know, not real non-messy stuff for a couple weeks. So I think if the principals and I will work together. The ladies had concern about they don't pull the tables down, up and down. They're too heavy for them, and it's awkward on their backs. Men usually do it. So they had a problem with that. I said, well, I would think that the custodian would be glad to set tables down and lift tables up.
You probably wouldn't have to put them up if there's no activities, right?
If there's nothing, I would think that they could put them down and leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just suggested that the doors be locked. Most cafeterias have entrance that they can come into without having to be in the school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just said the outer doors, maybe
locked into the school themselves.
Yeah, where they can get in and out this door. You know, that probably. I'm hoping that if we all work together, we can work through those issues. So
if you've already checked with the principals, then.
Well, I haven't spoken with all of them. I spoke with Brian today. I haven't had talk with Tom, but I think his manager talked to me. But, you know, I was the 17th. Everything kind of has, you know, we're meeting on the 17th with the principals, and I thought, well, you know, we could kind of discuss some stuff at principals meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, there will be more time this year between the end of July and when school starts, because we don't start so early.
Yeah, there's a full 3 weeks.
I don't think it'll be an issue with the lunch centers, no. I don't think I think they can have them ready. I don't think that's an issue at all.
Oh, yeah, and we won't be needing the rest of the building, but if, you know, if they were doing a summer summer school or some reading classes or whatever, they could just...
I think we've tried to avoid it for a while, more for philosophical reasons than anything else. Because of wondering if we should be taking on the role of feeding all of these kids in the summer. But I think with the current situation with the economy, there's a lot of these kids that may not get nutritious meals. I think that we ought to try it and we ought to see how it goes. And I think things have changed a little bit since then. I think it would be a good opportunity for us to, to see how it works.
Well, Janine, we really appreciate your work in the school lunch program. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. And being
enthusiastic. I've observed what's going on.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
They put the tables down, and then the ladies usually come out and wash them. There are a couple of schools where the custodians will help wash the tables before meal service. But if they don't, the ladies, and then at the end of the day, the custodians put the tables away and mop and take the trash out. So I don't know if there are any schools that custodians don't help. I'm not aware of it. But I can say I'll do. And we are really appreciative for their support, and they usually get a free lunch and cinnamon rolls when everyone goes.
That would be incentive, for sure. Thank you for presenting that. I think we need a motion to do that.
Well, I would make a motion that we go into the summer program and give it a try.
And
the breakfast as well.
Breakfast and Green River too.
Yes. Okay.
Green River High School.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for that. We appreciate that. We have an employee recognition award, and I've asked Murray if she wouldn't mind giving that today.
And I told her I'd be delighted, as long as I can read it, I'm brain dead. Yeah. There are lots of days on that one. Anyway. And I'm going to read the nominating letter because I think that it's very well worded.
Stand out there where we can get a picture together of you two.
Wow.
And
the
friends.
That's nice.
Molly, you're both close to Jen. It's funny, but you two look just like myself. why don't we get the picture and then you can read that. Takes a second to reach that there, Jen. So.
Okay. Benson's work ethic is impeccable. He's very motivated and professional in his job. When Benson is faced with a pressing matter, he will think it through and agonize over her answer. He's very tactful and diplomatic, so as not to hurt someone's feelings or offend them. He's concerned about his student's academic progress and accepts each student's personal best. He is happy with their successes and lets them know that he's pleased with them. He has introduced the reading program, Reading Naturally, and the spelling program, Words Their Way, into his special ed classroom. The children seem to excel and are better able to adapt in their regular ed classrooms because of these two programs. Benson is continuing her education, but while she is at work, it's all about the students and their education.
Congratulations.
We appreciate it.
That takes a lot of patience and diligence to do that. We appreciate you. It's nice to have some enthusiasm and some young people to bring that to pass. Thanks. We have a principal's report that was given to us, so we'll read that, and we know of the great things that are done here at Huntington Elementary. Pass that along, Dale William. We appreciate you. We know that you're the backboard going here, too, as well, so thanks so much.
Did you come intending to read it out loud?
Oh, would you like to?
No. Just for your information.
You want to make it feel bad.
Just for your information.
And then we'll go to the superintendent's report.
Okay, my report is mostly, well, I do have one bit of information. Just for your information, we do have letters of retirement currently, and they don't need any action since we don't do an early retirement formal program. Like we did in the past. But for your information, we have letters retirement from Christine Hunt, one of our counselors, Dale Richards, who is a teacher at Green River High School, Pam Jeff, who is a teacher at Cassadale Elementary, and Annette Cook, who is a teacher at Huntington Elementary. They have submitted letters indicating that they're going to retire this year, and I wanted to give that information to the board and certainly recognize the work that they have done in their career in the school district. Most of what I'm going to say, and it'll be brief, is around the legislative issues at the end that time of year, and I don't really have a lot to give you. The legislature has been waiting for more information on budget and for the information on the federal stimulus package that we all hear so much about. The latest information that we did receive is that the legislative fiscal analyst, about the 15th of February, indicated that they projected about another $400 million deficit. It was not necessarily a surprise to the legislature. They had anticipated that it would be even more than it had been in the past. And that's on next year's budget. They anticipate that would be about a 15% budget reduction in the state funds statewide. I know that their intent is to try to backfill as much as that as they can, but again, always remember that backfilling is one-time money, and eventually, unless the economy really takes a turn, that will have to be dealt with in the future. The last meeting that I attended up there, there were a number of legislators who want to backfill and get that down to near 6%, somewhere between 6 to 8%. And of course, they did backfilling this year, and we still had a reduction of 2%. So if you want to know, kind of calculate figures, we all hope that they can get it down less than 6%, but if you take the 2% this year and add that to the 6 or 8% next year, we're talking in our school district somewhere between $1 million and $1.5 million budget reduction. Of course, we all hope that it isn't that drastic. But that's the projection right now. The legislature is in session until the 12th, which is next week, so they're on a short timetable right now. I was hoping that we would have some accurate figures that we could work with now, but we don't. And I think they're going to hold off until the last minute to do that. If they do what they did during the early part of the session, they always give you the bad news like it is here, and then they come in riding on their white horses and say, we did it and we're not going to cut so deep. So we hope that's the case. The problem that we have with our school district is not only the reduction in budget because of the economic downturn, is that we also had declining enrollment for the past 12, 15 years. And during the past 3 years, we have not made many reductions in staff because we have a reverse bubble of students in three consecutive years that are low numbers, but then we begin to grow again. And our intent was to try to get through that. Now, those students right now are at the junior highs, and now they'll start hitting the high school, Emory High School. We'd hoped to be able to get through those 3 years without reducing staff because we knew that we would have to start increasing staff in the future. Unfortunately, we didn't know the economy was going to go from $1 billion surplus last year to $1 billion deficit this year, in the next 2 years. So we have kind of a double whammy on us. And so we're going to, as we get those numbers, we're going to have to take a look at what we're going to have to do. But that's the figures that we're looking at right now based on the percentage numbers that we're hearing from the legislature. But again, we won't know until we know we had at least 2% on this year beyond the backfilling, and that they're going to try to backfill with federal stimulus and hopefully some highway bonding money that they're able to do. If they're able to bond for highways, they'll free up money for backfilling. And we all hope the economy starts to level out and improve. I always like to say that the mainstream media sometimes lets us know how bad it is. Sometimes I wonder if they, and this is an editorial, I wonder sometimes if we didn't have them to tell us how bad it was, that it wouldn't be so bad. Because what that does is impact the confidence that people have in the economy, and when your confidence is low, you stop spending and borrowing and moving ahead, and so it has a huge impact. That's an editorial. There's some other legislation that we need to be concerned about that a number of things, but probably three of the more important ones right now to me would be House Bill 66, which is a property tax amendment, and it's an attempt to equalize property tax across the state. And the short description of this is that it would ultimately mean an increase in property tax in Emory County with no additional increase in revenue to the school district, and a potential cut in revenue to the school district. And what that means is that the property tax would increase in Emory County, and that money then would be shifted to other school districts who have a low assessed value to help them to deal with their capital outlay needs and so forth. So it's not really a good thing for us. We've been fighting it. Been in touch with our legislators on the issue so far. They're pretty much on board with us on it. But I suspect that this will be one of the big issues that will be dealt with, if not in the next couple of days, by the first of the week. But it is not something that is good for Emory County or our school district. Senate Bill 48 is another one. This has to do with teacher licensing. And basically what this does is create a teacher license that would be given through demonstrated competency. In other words, if you're in the private sector and you have a competency, which is great, if you were to take an exam and demonstrate that competency as far as content knowledge, that you would be issued a teaching license. What it doesn't take into account is the professional preparation for teaching, which includes child development, includes instructional strategies, includes behavior management, and all of those things that go along with the profession, and to me would make the teaching license meaningless without some other requirement other than passing an exam to demonstrate content competency. So this is another one that is of concern, and I know that one of the reasons they're doing it is because there's concern about teacher shortages. But I can guarantee you, if the economy doesn't change, there won't be a teacher shortage. So that's one to be concerned about. Another one is Senate Bill 199, which is entitled Equal Recognition of School Parent Groups. This would require equal access of all parent groups to schools, to their resources, to their staff, facilities, and everything. Initially, it would have prohibited any parent group from affiliation of the school if they charge dues. Now, simply from that, you can tell who is targeted at, and that's the PTA. Because basically, if you're charging dues for membership, then you would not be able to have access to the school or be affiliated with the school. I think the sponsors of that bill took that part out. The big question in my mind is what constitutes a parent group. And for $25, you can become a legal parent group or any kind of group in the state of Utah. And it concerns me with a limited definition of just simply saying a legally recognized parent group, that not only your facilities, but your staff and everything goes with it and resources would be available to those. I think that's a concern that we need to have. And that's one that we're watching very closely. If any of you have any questions about what's going on in the legislature, I'd be happy to answer them for you. Those are some of the critical issues. Kim, I don't know if you have others that you're hearing that... they are. There was another bill that I got a notice on just the other day that one of our representatives voted for, and I did email him and ask him to reconsider on the third reading of that vote. I can't remember what the bill is now, so I'll bring it up. He did email me back and indicate that he appreciated information and was not... Oh, it was on homeschool participation in extracurricular activities. And that's a big concern. Even though the bill itself, what it basically says is that if you're in a homeschool or a private... There are already a law in place that allows homeschool participation, but if you're in a homeschool or a private school, that you can participate in the extracurricular activities at your local school within your school boundaries, or at a school or charter school that you withdrew from. My concern about any of this legislation, even though there's already a law that allows it, is what that does. As a parent, I make a choice as to where I send my kids to school. And I don't have a problem necessarily with some homeschools, nor do I have a problem with private schools. Only in that once I make that choice as a parent, then I have to understand there are consequences for that, and there are limitations to that. And so as we, as parents make choices to send their kids to homeschool their students or to send them to private school, then that, in essence, if that person is an athlete or gifted or talented in some way, they move out, it means that other students then move in to take those places on those teams or those activities, and by allowing those students then to come back and return and participate, you're pushing other kids out of those programs who remained in the public school who then don't have that opportunity. And to me, that's a concern with the whole issue. So I've been, you know, been working to fight that, and hopefully with that explanation, we have some of our other legislators on board with that. There are other bills that we don't know where they're going to end up. You know, when there's no money, it's an opportunity for the legislature to move off in areas that get scary, because they're not dealing with money; they're dealing now with other with programs and other things. And so, as quick as we get information on budgeting, we'll let you know, and we'll move ahead. But we will have that long before your next board meeting. So, we wanted to let you know where we're at right now. That's all I have.
Okay. Let's go to the business administrator's report, Garrett.
Okay, just one item that I wanted to report on. Last month we talked briefly about the need to do a facility assessment in the district to get some information put together on our buildings. And as we kind of tossed that around in the district office, we think simply because of the time and effort we need to put into our budgeting this spring, we'll put that off starting the actual assessment until this summer or maybe fall. But in the meantime, we'd like to start getting together a, whatever you call it, a building committee of individuals. We'd want both members or employees of the school district as well as some community members to be on that committee. And the purpose of that committee would be to provide input and discuss the different things that we need to with regard to our building. So we'll start putting that committee together in the meantime. We do have several architects who are interested in doing the study for us on our buildings. The point of this study would be to have some information that would allow us to prioritize what our building needs are now and in the future, and also to develop a master plan, because we really don't have one right now, and we need to get that done. So anyway, we are putting that off a little bit, but in the meantime, we'll get that committee going. I would anticipate the committee would, as a group, help select whatever architects we do for the facilities assessment and then go from there.
And there's a fee with that as well, right? They will charge a fee to do that? Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to pay for it.
Okay. I don't know if they did that, hoping they would get the business. So, okay.
Yeah,
no such luck.
That,
no, okay. All right. Appreciate that.
That's
thanks. I don't know. Did you want to mention the competition?
Oh, I yeah,
Mexico?
That wasn't on the agenda. I just barely got that today.
I thought that was worth mentioning.
I just had a letter from one of our students. This is from Jesse Malone. Sent a letter to the school district thanking the school district for their support as they attended the FFA competitions and programs in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He talked there about the things that he learned, the visits they were able to make. He talked about the bird refuge and different species of birds that nested, and they were able to, the team was able to give their presentations and hear the other what the other states were doing. The overall trip was profitable. It was a good thing to experience the outside world and meet new people. I was pleased with most of the leaders and leadership qualities that they presented to us. Good leaders are always helpful. It was pretty hard work, but I learned a lot. And wanted to thank us for all that was done to help them. And I think that was a good gesture on the student's part to send a letter and recognize that the board did receive a copy of that.
I'm personally acquainted with this boy. He's from Emory. a move-in family from Emory, five, 6 years ago, and they are a wonderful family and really an asset to our school, to our community, and he is a great guy. I appreciate that. I'm going to give him a telephone call.
Thank you for doing that.
They told us we'd have to have 50 people by, and then they gave us about a week. Usually they give us till April the 1st, but because of concerns, they lost a lot of their budget too, and we didn't get that, so.
It'll move to the Wasatch Front?
Yeah, it moved up to the Wasatch Front, so I did let the state know of our concerns, and we're the only district in the state that ever, we had 100% of our teachers attending, and no other district even came close to 20-30%, so. I've let them know of our concerns, and what a great thing that it's been for our teachers, and the professionalism of our teachers to always want to go to those things, and so. They've heard from us, so hopefully we'll be able to get it back in the future, but they talked about even cutting it down to 4 sites in the state because of that concern, so. So unfortunately we did lose that, and I just want, our teachers have been very, very good to Virginia. It's been a great opportunity.
Yeah, we can't lose sight of that. When the times get better, we'd like to hope that we can back. Thank you.
Another thing is our automotive people down in New Mexico. At Hobbs, New Mexico, I was talking to Mike Kava, who is our automotive instructor through CEU. And it was a matter of, 0.03% or something that they would have been first place. And this is high school students competing against junior college students.
We mentioned that last week a little bit, but it was, they did finish second in the junior college competition.
It was just a matter of a hundredth.
This is the second or third year they finished second place, and this is tough competition. This is a great program.
I hope that the cuts in budget doesn't cut that from CEU to Emory High.
It's been a good program. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you. Any other public comments that we haven't addressed? I am under the understanding we have some personnel items that
we're closing.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all for coming and appreciate you.
Thank you.
Sticking to the end and
thank you.
Food's ready.
Oh, you're not.